Scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. I will be reading from the New King James Version. It reads, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers."
I consider it an honor once again to be able to preach in Mike's absence, and certainly know that he'd appreciate your prayers as he's beginning a meeting in Maybank, Texas today. And that's a congregation we worked closely with while we were in East Texas, so I'm certain that they will both have a great week, and we'll look forward to him being back with us. We continue in this month's theme in the very idea of Christians only. And simple idea that what we're striving to be is New Testament Christians, nothing more and nothing less. I guess it always amazes me that we understand that basic principle in almost every area of life that we might talk about. We go and we plant a tomato seed. We expect to get a tomato plant that comes forth out of that seed. We're not expecting to grow corn. We're not expecting to grow a pecan tree. But we understand. We plant that seed. That is what we expect to come forth. We understand that in the realm of navigation. If we follow a map, we're going to arrive at that destination of which we're following. I'm not going to try to reach Abilene by traveling south. But there are certain principles we understand there. And following a cake recipe, I'm expecting to get a cake out of the oven. Now, some are pretty talented at messing that up. But that's the general principle of what we ought to get. We could also think about a blueprint. If I go and I build that, follow that blueprint for a house, I'm expecting to obtain or get that house when I am done, if I follow that blueprint. And I, as a builder, don't have the authority to change that without the architect, the owner, or others. I'm going to follow that pattern. But somehow, when we turn into the world, into matters of religion, we seem to throw those principles right out the window. We have one book with a singular author from a singular source. Here's God, one message of hope, one message of salvation, and somehow we begin to think, well, anything can go. I can do whatever it is I want with that book. And suddenly many verses get thrown out the window or wrestled or tangled. And so Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus promised to build his church, singular in nature, possessive, belonging unto him. And yet we believe that we can turn around and we look at every street corner, even as we drive around this city, and we'll see many different religious bodies. And yet Jesus said, "I will build my church," again, singular in nature. Well, we think about his statement in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so here we have a singular path. And yet a world that believes we have many different paths, many different ways in which we can reach heaven or which we can reach unto God. In Acts 4 and verse 12, the reminder that there is salvation in no other name given unto men under heaven whereby we must be saved, save that of Jesus Christ. And yet we throw that principle right out the window. We have 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10 where Paul is begging Christians, be of the same mind, of the same judgment, speak the same thing. And yet we have a religious world that is divided and speaks whatever it is that they would care to. We think about the principle of Romans 6 and verse 17, the very reminder there that Paul is telling the Christians at Rome, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. There literally is a pattern that has been delivered unto you, the same pattern that went unto Rome, that went unto Ephesus, that went unto Corinth, that spread throughout the world. One gospel went forth, and when you followed that pattern, what did you become? You became New Testament Christians if you were walking after God. And so the world has to throw all those principles away to achieve what we have that we see all around us. But yet one who will honestly and humbly approach the pages of the Bible will understand that this book has a singular message for us even today, with a singular hope, and when it's applied, it produces Christians only walking according to the same pattern, the pattern of God's Word. Look at that principle a little more this morning. I want to go back there to where our reading was, John chapter 10, and look at Jesus as He speaks of Himself as the Good Shepherd and describes us as Christians there as the sheep. This was a simple lesson, one that they would have been familiar with, one that they should have been able to understand. Perhaps, sometimes as you look at such lessons, you wonder if there weren't shepherds off on a hillside somewhere that they could see and make this visual connection and this understanding. But they were certainly familiar with the principle of sheep and shepherds. Sheep needed constant protection. And so when abroad at night, they might be gathered into a cave, or sometimes just an enclosure of stones or thistles or thorns. And to guard the sheep, the shepherd would lay across the opening, acting as a door. That's how Jesus is describing Himself. I'm the door. I'm the means there of proper access. Other times, maybe as what you see in the beginning of chapter 10, they might have a more of a sheepfold, an actual structure, and there might be a guard that's posted there at the door in order to secure that entrance. And there you have the porter or the guard that's going to be there guarding that structure. And so someone who wants to harm the sheep, he's not going to go in at the door. He's going to find some other way. He's going to go over the top. He's going to try to break through the wall some way that's not as guarded. He's going to try to find that weak place. When you attach this with what we're coming out of in John chapter 9, the Pharisees have failed to understand and apply this to themselves. And so he's saying, I'm that door. I'm that means of access. I'm that protection. I'm the way in which one should enter into the sheepfold. I'm the good shepherd. Those are all descriptions that he's going to use of himself here in John chapter 10. With those sheep being us as the children, as the people of God. Jesus as that door, again, that proper way of access. And yet, who are the Pharisees? Well, you're the thieves. You're the robbers. Why? Because you're trying to destroy God's people. You are acting there as the enemy, trying to steal away from God rather than drawing them closer. Why? Because you're following your own traditions. You go back into John chapter 9. Why were the blind man's parent, the blind man that was healed by Jesus, why were his parents afraid to speak up? Because in John chapter 9 and verse 22, they knew that the Pharisees, the scribes, had said that any man who would confess that Jesus was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. They knew that. And so they were watching their status. The parents didn't want to speak up. And the Jewish leaders here at the time are, if you will, strong-arming others into remaining silent. You want to keep your place? You want to retain your status? You're not going to confess Jesus is the Christ. And so here is Jesus who's come to provide safety. He's come to provide security. He's come to provide fellowship with God. And yet you're more interested in drawing men unto yourselves than drawing men unto God. Back in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 23, Jesus would pronounce a woe on these Pharisees because of how they had continued to act even as they saw the evidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you have time and time rejected this. And so in Matthew 23 and verse 13, he calls them exactly what they are. You are hypocrites. You are shutting up the kingdom of God against men because you won't go in yourselves and you do not suffer or allow them who would desire to go in. You're keeping people away from following God when you're claiming to be the religious leaders of the day. And again, in verse 15 of Matthew 23, he calls them hypocrites because you would compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. You're following men, you're drawing men unto your own traditions. And so as he closes out John chapter 9, you need to recognize Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. And yet you have closed your eyes, you have shut your ears to every bit of evidence that Jesus continues providing unto you. You come to the conclusion there of John chapter 9, there's none so blind as those who will not see. Now you have eyes to see, unlike that blind man who used to not be able to see. You have eyes. You've seen what's happened. You've heard the things that have been taught and the things that have been done. And yet you refuse to listen. And so here in John chapter 10, Jesus is considering the proper relationship that ought to exist between the shepherd and the sheep. And that's what we want to speak briefly about even this morning. And so as we think about that idea of the sheep hearing the voice of the shepherd, in these first five verses particularly of John chapter 10, I want to notice three basic principles here that we ought to be reminded of. And the first is going to be Jesus is pointing out here the idea of ownership. You notice time and again here he talks about putting forth his sheep. Here is a singular flock with a singular shepherd. Not multiple flocks under one shepherd, not one flock under multiple shepherds, but one head that we're following. When we think about that in relation to the church, Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23 ought to come to mind, that all authority has been given unto Jesus. Here we're told that God has put all things under His feet, that is Jesus, and given Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. A singular body with a singular head. He is head over it, and there is no one else. That's the idea of John chapter 10. There's one shepherd, and He is leading His flock. As you think about the ideas that Jesus is expressing here, He says He knows them by name. He is calling out His flock. He is calling to the ones that will hear His voice. Verse 3, the sheep hear His voice. He's calling His own sheep by name, and He is leading them out. It's indicative there of an intimate, a personal relationship. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd and they're listening to him and him only. They're going to follow him and the sound of his voice. And here is the shepherd who lovingly knows his sheep and calling them even here as it were by name. We think about that amazing principle. Here is God, the creator of all of the universe. And he knows each of us individually. Singular. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 139, expresses that very idea throughout the whole psalm. There is nowhere that I can go that I am hid from you. Psalm 139 in verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? It's the very idea that when I was beginning to be formed in the womb, you knew me. You knew all of my members when as yet they were still being formed. You knew me. And now even as I enter into life, there's nowhere that I can go. If I could ascend up into the highest of the heavens, if I could descend into the deepest parts of the earth, there you are. And when it is dark and my eyes can't see anything, it is as light unto you because you know me, because you're with me. Jesus speaks of that in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30 as he reminds us even the very hairs of our head are all numbered. A few of you might be able to do that, but I'm going to give up counting real fast. I don't know the hairs of my head, and yet God does. He knows me. There's the intimate relationship of this ownership that he is pointing to there. But also notice this sense of belonging. They are His sheep. They are belonging unto Him. In verse 4 again of John 10, He putteth forth His own sheep. He's going before them. This is the shepherd who is going to give His life for the sheep. Staying there in John 10, drop down into verse 13 and 14. The hireling, The one that's just there for his wages, he's going to flee because he's a hireling. He does not care for the sheep. But Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. Drop down into verse 17 and 18. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. And this is the commandment I have received of my Father. They are my sheep. I have even purchased them with my own blood, is where we're going to get. Acts 20 and verse 28. He has purchased the church with his own blood. The shepherd's going to give his life for the sheep. That's the intimate and personal care that he is showing unto them. These are mine. Again, that relationship, one shepherd and one flock, as he is claiming them and we're following after him. Paul reminds Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 who we are as a people of God. He gave himself, that's Jesus, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We are his special people, following after him. He says in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's inviting us to come and to follow after him. He concludes there in verse 30, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Would you walk with him? He wants to take ownership there of his sheep. But finally, also there, the idea of care. He is a provider. Time and again, he's showing that he is providing for his sheep. The sheep are coming in and out of the door of this place of safety. If you drop down into verse 10, the thief comes but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He wants to care for his sheep. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, we can cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. He's interested in his sheep. Here in Jesus, in this flock, in this one fold, is all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where he's put them all. Yes, he cares for us. We sang that psalm, a song based off Psalm 23. Again, one of my favorites that's so full and packed of meaning. But in Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It's the picture of a shepherd that is caring for his sheep and the gratitude being expressed by that sheep for all that the shepherd does. There's the care that's being provided by the one owner, the shepherd. But number two, we also see the idea of leadership as we look at John 10, verse 1 through 5. Notice there at the end of verse 4, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The idea that's going to be expressed here is that there is a prepared path. The shepherd knows what he's going to do with his sheep. He's leading them forth into pastures that he has prepared for them. He's leading them forth into places that are going to be good for them. Even though sometimes it might be through a place of danger, it's to reach a final destination. It's to reach a place that's going to be good for them. Is it not amazing how many people want to direct their own paths rather than to submit to the will of God? Jeremiah long ago said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Here we have the words of the Creator, the one who has made us, the one who knows what is best for us. And he's speaking forth in loving compassion towards us. And yet many people says, no thanks, I'll do it my way. I'll follow my own path. I'll do that which I think is right. And it leads them unto destruction. But here the shepherd is leading his sheep. We see here the principle of example. He has led the way. I love Hebrews 4 and verse 15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We don't have one over us who has no connection with us, who doesn't understand the things that we endure in this life, but he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows the trials of this life as well. He has walked those steps, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving for us an example that we should follow in his steps. I'm thankful I'm walking after one who's already been there. I'm walking after one who has walked this life, but not only that, he's entered into that great place of eternal reward. And so back in Hebrews 6 and verse 20, there is a forerunner entered for us, even Jesus, made high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's entered in to that place, and we're following after him. He has paved the path, if you will, and left his will that we can follow and walk after him. Go back to that beautiful imagery of Psalm 23. In Psalm 23 and verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Again, I believe this is the wonderful picture of a shepherd who has provided the well watered, the beautiful grassland for his sheep. And that's where he's leading to, this place of great reward. We've gone through the valley of the shadow of death. We've gone through the difficulties. Personally, I don't believe that is death as such. It's the challenges of life. The difficult days that we go through. But what's the reward of going through those difficult days? That Jesus is preparing for us a place. That here is the place of blessings. Here is a place of honor. He has prepared for us. Again, prior preparation. That's the leadership of the shepherd that has made this available unto us. And as you go, there is the protection. He is guarding them. Time and again, we've seen where Jesus is talking about, I'm the good shepherd. Why? Because I would lay down my life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd because I'm providing for them. I'm the good shepherd because I'm leading them in the ways that are good and right. So go back. Psalm 23 and verse 4, we made a reference to just a moment ago. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's a longer sermon that I have looked at Psalm 23, sometimes six different sermons because you look at it verse by verse. But I believe overall it's a picture of a shepherd that's leading his sheep, and he's going to lead them through some difficult paths, some gorges. He's going to lead them through times when there are wolves or other predators that are seeking to destroy them, and yet the shepherd knows the sheep know the shepherd's right there with me. And I'm going through this difficult place because we're trying to reach the well-watered plain. We're trying to reach that table that we talked about a moment ago in verse 5, where I'm going to be able to eat and be well satisfied. That's the protection that the shepherd is providing. You go back into Psalm 119 and a beautiful praise unto the Word of God. And he begins in Psalm 119 verse 2 and 3, blessed are they who keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. He's laid forth a path for us to walk in. You drop down into Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O Lord. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And again, Psalm 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's guiding, it's directing, it's guarding my path as I hear his voice and as I walk with him. There's the way of protection. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1. And verse 5. And so I need to be walking in the light as he is in the light, and I can have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the protection of the shepherd, but then also the wisdom. Am I trusting? Am I trusting in the shepherd that knows the way? I believe in that same imagery. He knows the plane that He's leading to them to. He's scoped out the best path, and now He's taking His flock there. I'm trusting in the wisdom of that shepherd to lead me. Think about what was said of Jesus when He was teaching upon the face of the earth, Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. We finished that great Sermon on the Mount, and the people were astonished at His doctrine, verse 28. Why? For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. They recognized the wisdom of Jesus. They recognized the things that He was teaching, and they wanted to know more of Him. His own disciples would recognize this as they spent time with Him, and even when many others would turn away and He would ask them, "Will you go away also?" Peter would speak up. John chapter 6 and verse 68. "Where should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You have the words that are going to lead me into that life eternal, and so I want to walk with You. He indeed is the one worthy of following and listening to, the way, the truth, the life, John 14 and verse 6. You have ownership, you have leadership, but finally it deals a little more with our responsibility. You also have discipleship. What are you going to do with that one shepherd who's trying to lead His flock? Are you going to be a part of the flock, or are you going to wander away? Are you going to listen to the voice of the shepherd or not? It says here in John chapter 10, "The sheep follow Him, for they know His voice," there at the end of verse 4. God's not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. Jesus isn't speaking a different message to different people. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I listening to Him, or am I listening to myself? Am I listening to someone else? The charge of discipleship asks us, will we follow Him? Will we be obedient? Will we be submissive unto Him, listening to that one voice that's calling us as we go forth into the world? Psalm 23 began, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I believe that to be a statement of contentment. Not necessarily saying He's going to give me everything that I desire, but it is saying here, I'm content because I trust in Him. Here, I'm content because I know He's watching over me, and so I'm going to follow after Him. I'm not looking for anything else. When Paul is writing and he speaks for 11 chapters in the book of Romans about the salvation that God has provided unto men, he turns around to us and says, "Now what will you do with that?" Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Will you follow Him? He's provided this great salvation for you. Come and see, is it not the best life to live? Come and live it and show the world again that it is the best life in which to live. You're going to submit to something. What will it be? Romans 6 and verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." And Paul was thankful for them. Why? Because you were the servants of sin, but you've turned. You were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. You follow the pattern. You followed His will that He set forth for us in His Word. Will you make the desire to not want to follow anything else? There's following. Another mark of discipleship: are we trusting? Do we love the shepherd? Do we trust Him? Know that He loves us. the promise of Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, God will never leave us or forsake us. And we can know then, the Lord is my helper, I shall not fear what men shall do unto me. Who is the shepherd? Psalm 23 and verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The one who's going to watch over and care for me. Psalm 23 and verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The desire that says, I will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me. Matthew 6 and verse 33. I'm seeking after Him first and know that He's going to care for the physical needs of this life. That I can be as Paul, who would reach the end of my life and say, henceforth there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them who love His appearing. I trust Him and place my eternal life in His hands. Another mark of discipleship, are we listening? To whom are you listening? Listening to ourselves? Listening to our peers? Are we listening to religious, spiritual leaders of the world? Are we listening to so-called wise men? Are we listening to parents? God settled the matter long ago. Take some of the wisest men. Moses and Elijah meet with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. And the voice of heaven, Matthew 17 and verse 5, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye Him. Jesus is the one to whom we ought to be listening. Do we know the voice of the shepherd? Do we recognize when it's not His voice? We see that concept here as well. Verse 5 of John chapter 10, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. They know not the voice of strangers. Are we listening to the voice of God as He speaks to us through His Word? To be like those noble Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11 that were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and that they searched, or they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. They wanted to know, is this the voice of God? Because we're going to follow Him and Him only. Is that our desire? You could attach with that, certainly the idea that we won't dwell into further. But Luke 8 reminds us the seed is the Word of God, Luke 8 and verse 11. Is that what's being planted in our hearts? Are we listening to that and that alone? Are we like the stony ground who's allowing it to be snatched out and we'll go some other way? Or like the rocky or the thorny soil who maybe receives it for a little while, but because of the trials and the temptations of life and all that goes on in life, we eventually yield and give it up and allow it to be choked out. We like that seed that fell in the good ground. Allow it to sink down and bring forth and multiply in a good and honest heart. Are we listening to Jesus? That's the challenge that comes unto us. Same question comes to us today. What do we do with the voice of the shepherd? The sheep hear His voice and they follow Him. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with His Word? Will you listen to Him? Or will you follow Him? With Him as your shepherd, you as His sheep, be simply a Christian. Nothing more. Nothing less. That's the principle we're looking at. A principle that I think we see very clearly there in John chapter 10. That here we can listen to Jesus and be led in that one way, in that one path. He desires for us that life that He speaks of in John chapter 10 and verse 10. I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. That's the offer that still goes forth unto us even today. Maybe there's one who desires to know more about what God has said unto us. And we'd love the opportunity to sit down and study with you further. Maybe there's one who recognizes, I know what I need to do in my life, but I haven't been listening. I haven't been responding to the call of the Savior to follow after Him. He invites, even yet still, while we have life, time, and opportunity here, will you follow after me? Follow after anything else. Follow me. Follow my word and that alone. And it's going to produce one thing. Just as that seed, Luke 8:11, planted in the ground is going to bring forth one thing. The seed of the Word of God, when planted in that honest, in that good heart, is going to bring forth as a simple New Testament Christian. And you can enjoy the same joy that so many in the first century did. That when they heard the Word of God, they believed it, they responded to that wonderful invitation. They repented of their sins and confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins. They rose again as new creatures, the Lord adding them to the church. They're going forth in that newness of life. You can have that same joy even this morning that so many accounts throughout the book of Acts enjoyed. Maybe there's one who at one time was following, but we stopped listening to the voice of the Savior, stopped allowing Him to guide and direct our lives, or maybe allowed something else to. Our friends, other teachers that sought something else other than the Word of God. Maybe just the voices of the world that taught us that we can go any way that we want. Why not come again and follow after Him? Maybe you need to make that as a public response, to come back home to Him. I know you have a family here that will surround you, lift you up in prayer and concern as you take you before the throne of the Father. Maybe there's some other need that you have this morning. Would you let it be known as together we stand and as we sing?